You know, the Bible describes a special wooden chest. And this chest is covered inside and out with pure gold. And this wooden chest was called the Ark of the Covenant. And this ark was constructed under God's direction after Israel left Egypt. And we're told how this ark was constructed in Exodus 25. If you turn to Exodus chapter 25, in verse 10 of Exodus 25, verse 10 it says, "And they shall make an ark of acacia wood, and you shall overlay it with pure gold inside and out. You shall overlay it and make on it a molding of gold all around. And you shall cast four rings of gold for it and put them in the four corners." Verse 13, "And you shall make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. You shall put the poles into the rings on the side of the ark, that the ark may be carried by them." Verse 15, "The poles shall be in the rings of the ark, and they shall not be taken from it." And the ark was to be carried by these poles, so the ark would not be touched. And I've titled this message, "Touch Not." For those keeping score, this is number 13. In verse 16, "And you shall put into the ark the testimony which I shall give you." And we find out that the testimony he was talking about was the tablets with the Ten Commandments on them. "And you shall make in verse 17, "You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold." The mercy seat was above the ark and represented the very throne of God. There's been a lot of speculation about the ark over the years and what actually happened to this ark. There have been theories that still lie somewhere in Jerusalem. And there's another theory that was carried off, and it's in Ethiopia today. And then there's also a theory that Jeremiah carried it somewhere over in the British Isles. But there was a movie a few years ago, or several years ago now, when the Ark was depicted in the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark. And at the end of the movie, I don't know whether you remember or not, but the ark ended up in a wooden crate in a huge warehouse among thousands of other wooden crates. As depicted in the movie, those who touched the ark brought disaster upon themselves. It seems like the ark has always brought trouble to those that dared tamper with this ark. And 3,000 years ago, the Philistines were no exception. And the Philistines had decided that this powerful God in Israel resided or lived in this ark. And you know, as we develop the mind of Jesus Christ, we begin to realize that this world still is full of these false concepts about God. And this is especially true in the area of religions. It seems that all these different concepts going around and around about God, you know, totally wrong concepts. And one of these concepts or ideas that I know when I was growing up, that this God described in the Old Testament was a harsh, mean, cruel. This God was very unfair. Years ago, there was this TV evangelist that claimed that God had told him that God was going to kill him. He got this message that God was going to kill him if he wasn't able to raise several millions of dollars by the end of a certain month. You know, this is an example, an extension of the false idea that, you know, God is very unfair. I don't know, this guy may have had ulterior motives in saying that, but it gives this idea of an unfair God, that God will kill people with little or no justification. And it seems like when we look back in history, people have had this false concept of the true God. And it seems like the Philistines also had this false concept. They had their own idea of what God really was. And they thought by capturing the ark that they would have this all-powerful God it seemed like God had done when Israel entered the promised land. And they thought, you know, if we get the ark, we'll have this God on our side. He's in, you know, he resides in the ark, and he'll take care of us. At the same time, deprive Israel of their God. Let's go to 1 Samuel 4. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, and it's talking about here in beginning in verse 3, it's just a little background. There was the Philistines were warring with Israel at this time. And Israel wasn't doing too good in the battles. Verse 3, and when the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines?" Notice Israel's solution. "Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, that when it comes among us," notice the pronoun here, "it may save us from the hands of our enemy." In other words, they thought the Ark was going to save them from the Philistines. You know, the Israelites were disobeying by bringing the Ark out into the battlefield. Nowhere were they ever told to do such a thing. Instead of relying on God, they thought the Ark would save them. In verse 4, "So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God." Verse 10, "So the Philistines fought, and Israel was defeated," even after bringing the Ark out. "And every man fled to his tent. There was a great slaughter, and there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. Also, the Ark of God was captured." But you know, when the Philistines finally captured the Ark, with the Ark in their possession, they also began to have problems. Let's go to 1 Samuel 5. Notice what happens in 1 Samuel 5, verse 2. "When the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon." That was their chief god. They brought the Ark into the house of Dagon and set it down beside Dagon. "And the next morning, the statue of Dagon had fallen over in front of the Ark." So they went in there, and the Dagon was all collapsed in the floor over in front of the Ark. So they went in and set Dagon back up on his feet or whatever he stood on. Anyway, they set him up upright, set him in his place again. And they got up the next morning, and Dagon had fallen over again. But this time, Dagon lost his head and his limbs. And all that was left was his torso. In verse 8, this upset them pretty much, the Philistines. They said, "What shall we do with the Ark of the God of Israel?" And they answered, "Let the Ark of the God of Israel be carried away to Gath." That's another Philistine city that is going to get rid of and get over to Gath. So they carried the Ark of the God of Israel away. It makes you wonder, you know, they captured this golden box with a lid on it, and it makes you wonder how many of the Philistines dared touch that, you know, out of curiosity to see what was in that Ark. And it probably took them a while to figure out they had to carry it by those poles. Probably some of them actually touched the Ark. So they sent the problem of the Ark to a neighboring city of Gath. Verse 9, it talks about God bringing great destruction when they brought the Ark over to Gath. The people of Gath starting to have problems. So when the people of Gath had problems, they decided to send it to the Philistine city of Ekron. Verse 10, therefore they sent this Ark of God to Ekron. So it was, as the Ark of God came to Ekron, the Ekronites cried out, "They brought the Ark of God of Israel to us to kill us and our people." So here they were passing the Ark around to their brothers. They just want to get rid of it, even though it's killing, when they pass it on, it's killing the people of that city. It took the Philistines about 7 months before they decided they'd had enough of this ark. Verse 11, they came up with a solution. And they said, send away the ark of God of Israel, and let it go back to its own place so it does not kill us and our people. In the 7 months the Philistines had the ark, numerous plagues were brought upon the Philistines. Again, their main cities had been decimated by these plagues, and they figured out a way to get rid of the ark. So they willingly sent it back to Israel. And in Israel, they ended up in the home of an Israelite priest. And it remained in that home for about 20 years. Then after David became king, he decided that the ark really belonged in Jerusalem. So David organized quite a ceremony for bringing the ark back to Jerusalem. Not only were the Israelite leaders going to accompany the ark on its journey, but thousands of soldiers were sent along to escort the ark back to Jerusalem. And to make it a very special occasion, David had his musicians marching out in front of the ark playing music. And the ark was loaded on a special cart that David had specially built for transporting the ark. And David had two of his nephews driving the oxen that pulled this special cart. As this colorful possession near Jerusalem, one of the oxen stumbled. And it appeared for a moment that the cart and the ark both turned over there. And at this point, Uzzah, one of David's nephews, who was driving the ark's cart, he instinctively reached out to steady the ark. And he actually touched the ark. And that was the last act of his life. Uzzah had been struck dead at that point. Ever since that incident occurred, the question has been asked, you know, why did God deal with Uzzah in quite a harsh way, it seems? You know, when all it seems like that all Uzzah had done was trying to keep the ark from turning over and falling on the ground. And people have concluded that as Uzzah has just been trying to help to keep the ark and the cart from turning over, that God was very unfair in this situation. You know, by dealing with him in such a manner, it seemed like he was innocent in what he did. But let's read the actual account in the Bible to answer these questions. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 13. We read the account in 1 Chronicles 13, verse 7. Verse 7, so they carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadi, and Uzzah and Aho drove the cart. Then David and all of Israel played music before God with all their might, with singing on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came to Chadon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and he struck him because he put his hand to the ark, and he died there before God. You know, just from reading these verses, it might seem that God maybe was unfair to Uzzah. And we know in the book of 1 Corinthians, it's stated that these examples in the Old Testament were written for our example. They're written for us. They're written for us to learn from. There's some lesson that we can learn from this. So let's take a closer look at this example of Uzzah. Not only to answer the question about God being unfair, but also see what we can learn from this example. What can we learn to apply to ourselves? Let's turn to a second account of this incident. We find this account in 2 Samuel chapter 6. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, it gives us a little bit more detail about the same event. in verse 6. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand into the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error. Notice, he struck him for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. So we can see from this scripture that God had not destroyed him without a reason. It wasn't, he had a reason. That God killed Uzzah for his error. If we look in the margin, we find the word error can be also translated rashness, being rash. So what was the error, the rash act that Uzzah committed? And what we find is that the men of Israel at that time, the elders and the king, had actually ignored very explicit instructions. God had given them very explicit instructions on how to transport the ark. And we need to realize that the ark, what it represented, it represented the very throne of God. And you know, the only one qualified to enter the Holy of Holies, we know from atonement, was the high priest could go in once a year. And he represented Jesus Christ. So this was a very sacred thing. It was very, he called it the Holy of Holies, where it was to reside. So not anybody could go in there and mess around with the ark. We find these instructions in Deuteronomy 10, verse 8. Deuteronomy 10, verse 8. At that time, the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And God commanded that only the priests, the sons of Levi, were to bear the ark of the covenant. And these instructions are further detailed in Numbers chapter 7. Chapter 7, Numbers 7, verse 6. So Moses took the cart and oxen and gave them to the Levites. But the sons of Kohath, he gave none. He gave none of the carts or the oxen to them. Because theirs was a service of the holy things. And the ark was one of the most holy things. It says there, which they carried on their shoulders. So the ark was one of these holy things. It shows the ark was not to be carried on a cart. And even though King David had a special cart constructed just for carrying the ark, God's instructions with the ark was to be carried on the shoulders of the Kohathites, who were part of the Levites. You know, we can learn from this that just as certain of the Levites were responsible for certain aspects of the ark, you know, bearing it upon their shoulders, and even the Levites were not allowed to touch the ark. It was to be carried on these poles. These poles insert through those rings on the corner of the ark. And the ark represented the very throne of God, the covenant between God and Israel, so holy that the Levites were forbidden to touch it. So we can see that Uzzah had committed a rash act. If we look back at 1 Samuel, we can see how important it was to follow God's instructions carefully. Actually, as in the others could have learned from this example that happened earlier, this occurred a few years earlier in 1 Samuel chapter 6. If we look at verse 19, another incident with the ark. Verse 19, then he struck the men of Beth Shemesh because they actually looked into the ark of the Lord. Their curiosity got the best of them. He struck 50,070 men of the people. And the people lamented because the Lord had struck the people with a great slaughter. You know, the Ark of the Covenant was so holy that ended up 50,000 Israelites were killed for profaning the Ark by opening the Ark and looking inside. And this shows that God takes the instructions concerning the Ark of the Covenant very seriously. And after looking at the scriptures, we begin to see the error that Uzzah had committed. Number one, Uzzah was not of the Levitical priesthood. But he was a nephew of King David and shouldn't have been even allowed to get near the ark. Number two, the ark should have never been carried on a cart, but only by those poles on the shoulders of certain of the Levites. So God's instructions were not being followed. Even King David, who had organized the moving of the ark, had forgotten or ignored these instructions. You know, David had chosen to do what he felt was right in the people's eyes, in the eyes of the people, rather than take the time to figure out and consult God's word and instructions on the matter. Thus we know that because Uzzah was nephew of King David, and David was the tribe of Judah, that Uzzah should not have even been involved in this situation. You know, as we develop the mind of Jesus Christ, we begin to realize this world is full of false concepts. And we find there are usually two ways of learning. Brethren, we all have spiritual lessons to learn. One way we can learn these special, important spiritual lessons is through actual trials. God gives us that choice. You know, learning through experience by our mistakes. And even though Uzzah died for his mistake, he, more than likely he was unaware that he was allowed, you know, he wasn't supposed to touch the ark. It was probably done through ignorance. But you know, good thing about it, Uzzah's going to have a chance to learn from that mistake. You know, God is the only one who can legally take a life. You know why? Because God can give that life back to a person. He gave the life, he can take it away, he can give it back. And that's the beautiful part of this. That's exactly what God intends to do. To give back that life through the resurrection, through a great resurrection. We just celebrated it on the last great day. Uzzah and billions of others once again be resurrected back to life. You know, when God killed Uzzah, even David, a man after God's own heart, became angry. He became upset. And David, he resented what God had done. Let's look in 1 Chronicles 13. In 1 Chronicles 13, read a little bit about David in verse 11. Verse 11 of 1 Chronicles 13. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. But you know, God understands, and he knows when we don't follow instructions, that when we don't follow his word, and when we start using our own human reasoning, when we start doing things our own way, we get further and further from God. And when this happens, brethren, the end result is going to be death. And we know from the book of Proverbs, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And you know, we can learn from David's example, his attitude. And David later realized this, and he realized he was wrong, that David was wrong. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 15. Notice what David, his attitude changed in verse 2. Then David said, verse 2, no one may carry the ark of God but the Levites. In verse 13, For because you did not do this the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us because we did not consult him about the proper order. They did not go to God's word. They did not go to the scriptures. They were doing it their way. In verse 15, And the children of the Levites bore the ark of God on their shoulders by its poles, as Moses had commanded according to the word of God. So we can see that David later did the right thing after he realized that an error had been committed. And brethren, that's the story of our spiritual lives. When we realize that we have committed an error, then God gives us the opportunity to repent, change, be forgiven. You know, David went to God's instructions through his word to make sure this time everything was done according to God's instruction. Verse 25. So David, the elders of Israel, and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord. Notice, with joy. With joy. Verse 26. And so it was when God helped the Levites who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And you know, we can see once they started following God's instruction on the matter, and they followed them, they were able to bring the ark up to Jerusalem. It says here they brought it up with great joy. They brought it up with God's blessing. And brethren, we can certainly see that this applies to us. You know, by following God's way, by following His instructions, we can also receive God's blessings. Perhaps even though we know that Uzzah had committed a, the Bible says, a rash act, they committed an error, there was a penalty, brethren, that was extracted. Even though Uzzah died, you know, he died for his mistakes. But like I said, that wasn't the end for Uzzah. He will have the opportunity, brethren, to continue that life. And he'll have a chance to learn from his mistake. And we can see from the example of Uzzah, there are things that we can learn from this example. There are things that we can profit from. And we realize that God is more than fair. And you know, it's obvious from this example that God does not compromise with His commands, His instructions, His word. You know, God acted to halt a dangerous trend in Israel at that time. You know, a trend of certain of His laws being ignored. He eliminated a potential problem before it could spread. And you know, from this example, we see that God does occasionally allow suffering when we make mistakes. So the spiritual lessons can be learned, you know, even in a forceful manner. But you know, God is looking at each of us. He's looking at the big picture. He's looking at the long term, our eternal well-being. And that's of primary importance to God. And we understand this example of Uzzah. We realize that God had a good reason for saying, touch not. We can also see that those who accuse God of being mean, cruel, and unfair are in reality they themselves being unfair. They're missing the scriptures. You know, if they could really understand, thinking about maybe a scripture most often quoted by this world, then they know that God does not act in a cruel, harsh, or unfair manner. You know, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Brethren, these words do not sound like a God who acts with unfairness. You know, with the sacrifice of His Son, He went way beyond forgiveness in dealing with us. God has offered us life, where like Uzzah, we only deserve death.